Well, hi there. Steve Walters again. This is February 18th, and we are getting through Deuteronomy. I hope you're having a great time. I'm just loving doing the study, being able to read, kind of reflect, and see how it applies to my life. Yesterday, we focused on the word remember, and that's a theme and focus for Deuteronomy. I want you to just remember that. Moses is challenging the Israelites to never forget who God is and what he's done and how faithful he's been and how needy they are for God. And that's for us as well, how much we need God. But he is warning them, he is challenging them about as they enter into the promised land, that they need to remember God. And today we're going to see that it's not just for their dependence on God and remembering him, but also how God provides, how God protects, but also for worship, for the spiritual area, how important it is to remember. See, they're going into a land with rain. We read that today, where crops and livestock will thrive and they will be prosperous. A truly promised land, especially when you think of what they have known for the past 40 years. Living in tents, scratching for a living or scratching to live there in the wilderness. And there's going to be a big change in their physical life. And however, there's something more that's going to change as they go into the promised land. They've had no place to settle down. However, in those 40 years in the wilderness, they did not have much outside temptation. They were not connected with or associating with many cultures from the outside. There were other cultures. They knew there were other cultures around that did not have same beliefs as them and didn't worship God. But they didn't have a close association where they got to know the others around them. Going into the promised land changes that. They'll be going into a land and they'll be attacking key cities in the land of Canaan, in the promised land. But remember, they will not be totally eradicating the population. There'll be pockets of Canaanites. There'll be pockets of people, of pagans that do not worship God, that have different religious beliefs and practices, and they'll be living next to them. They'll be around the hill, over the hill, across the river, whatever. And I heard a message recently that said that God's grace preceded his law. God's law is on how the relationship will work. God's law is not live this way and you'll be my people, but you are my people, so live this way. And that's what God is saying right here in this passage. He is saying that we need to recognize that relationship that we have with God, and that God knows what's best for us, and we need to obey him in order to be able to prosper. You read in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. Let me read this to you. It says, "Be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, 'How do these nations serve their gods?' We will do the same. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to God." See, God is saying that what would be initially shocking and despicable to the Israelites, of making children as sacrifices to gods, that they will eventually become ones who accept it. They'll become desensitized to that. Let me give you an example. See, the Canaanites worshipped the god Moloch, and there was the practice of sacrificing children. I know it would be shocking for anybody to initially hear that, but realize this. Later on, in 1 Kings chapter 11, Solomon built a temple on the Mount of Olives for worshipping Moloch. King Manasseh, in 2 Kings 21, sacrificed his own children to the god of Moloch. And eventually that's what brought the downfall of the northern kingdom of Israel. So in Deuteronomy 12, God is giving this law, this guidance, this direction, saying he knew that a simple curiosity would eventually bring down a nation. Now I know you don't sacrifice children to Moloch and worship pagan gods, but our heart is an idol factory. Timothy Keller, in his book Counterfeit Gods, says that an idol is whatever gives us meaning, purpose, and value and worth in life. That it absorbs your heart. Idolatry will absorb your heart and imagination, and you will seek for it to give you what only God can give. Idolatry is a spiritual addiction, something that we cannot live without. It's a must-have, and that we are willing to break rules that we once honored, which will eventually, as Keller says, lead to terrible evil. Does that sound familiar? That's exactly what happened with Israel. They were inquisitive. They got involved in idolatry, and it led to terrible evil. Keller goes on to state, the only way to free ourselves from the destructive influence of counterfeit gods is to turn back to the true one, the living God who revealed himself on Mount Sinai and on the cross. It is the only Lord who, if you find him, can truly fulfill you. But if you fail him, he can truly forgive. May you worship God alone. May you depend on him above all else. May you obey him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.